Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that, so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost. Swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash. Built for business by American Express.
And we welcome you to Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm the host, Mitch Albom, alongside my friend and producer, Lisa Goitsch. And we welcome you to 2024 in this podcast. I know it's
been a few weeks.
Yes, it's been a few weeks since we've had a chance to speak with you all. I have been rather busy.
Yes, you have been.
Yeah, I was in Haiti, as I always do, for the New Year's. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And I always spend New Year's with the kids, with my wife, and this time we brought little Nadi down as well. And so she got a chance to spend New Year's with her brothers and sisters at the orphanage. And we stayed there for about 8 days into January, and then we went home. And my hometown of Detroit was lit up with football.
We had
the Detroit Lions played their last game of the year. And then I flew to Houston to see the Michigan Wolverines win the national championship, and then came back home and watched the Lions win their first playoff game in 32 years. Now, I know this is in a sports podcast, but I can tell you when your city has gone 32 years without anything and finally gets it, it's a big deal.
Well, you know, it's beyond
if you didn't
sport.
Have a traffic light in your city for 32 years, and then suddenly they finally got the traffic light to work. That would be a big deal, right?
Well, it's not even a sports story as much as it's a people story, you know?
Yeah.
It's about the people.
Yeah. We in Detroit are a long-suffering bunch, particularly with our football team. We've had, there have been years where the stadium groundskeepers were probably better athletes than the guys on the Lions. But we finally got a good coach and a good general manager and some good talent, and we're actually winning, which is just unheard of. And so everybody's very excited. And there were men in the stands on Sunday night who were weeping, just weeping.
Yes, I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
They posted the one guy all over the internet today. He's been everywhere. Yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to interview him, but it was so sweet. The weeper.
The grim weeper.
It was really sweet. I cried like all game.
Yeah. So it was a big deal. I was at that game and it was crazy. And so anyhow, it's taken away a lot. And then of course I'm still doing a lot of work with the new book, The Little Liar, which I've gotten such great response from people. I want to thank you all. A lot of people who have read their Christmas presents, it seems.
Yeah.
And getting letters and emails and comments and reviews on the Amazon about The Little Liar that really pleased me, because they're very thoughtful reviews and they're very thoughtful notes and letters about what the theme is and its relevance today with what's going on in the world with regard to truth, with regard to anti-Semitism and many of the other themes. And so thank you, everybody, who has been reading The Little Liar, who has made the nice comments that they have, who has invited me to join their book clubs and come and speak to their book clubs.
I have a request from somebody on my end.
To do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like there's this, hey, we chose you for our book club, so you should come to us. And I was like, well, yeah, I would like to, but if I did that for every book club, I'd never write another book, I don't think. So I'm starting to do now.
You could do the business of book clubs for just your books that you've already written.
Yeah.
That could be your new side gig.
It's very satisfying and humbling and nice. You know, it's a solitary profession, writing, and you don't get a chance to meet people very often that you're working for. If you think about that, I guess a lot of remote jobs have become like that now when people are working from home. You don't really see the people who are benefiting from your work. You don't really come in contact with people who are you're working with very much. But writing has always been that way, and it's a lonely, down in your basement, you and your thoughts profession, and you're unlike a play, for example, which you get to work out in the small towns, you know, when they take it off Broadway kind of thing, or they workshop it, you get to see how people are reacting to it, and that's good. Or unlike a movie where you get to screen it for people before you put it out, a book is basically, you know, it comes out and that's it. You know, you can't, I'm going to go back and take out about 30 pages now. No, it doesn't work like that. So to get a chance to meet people and to hear good things about something that you've written is really very rewarding. So thank you all very much for that. Here we are back now. And I want to talk a little bit about lessons learned from January. Lessons learned from January. So this is twofold. First, I mentioned that I was down at the orphanage with Janine and Nadi, and we were able to celebrate New Year's. And we do this every year. It's really a delightful thing where we get the kids together and we get these sparklers. And every kid gets a sparkler and gets to put a sparkler in the ground and gets to light the sparkler.
And
you make a wish on your sparkler for what you want in the new year. And when the last sparkler goes out, that's when we ring in the new year. Never mind that it's about 8:05.
That's okay.
We got a lot of little kids, you know, so they can't stay up till midnight.
That's
and
fun.
It's already dark out, so you can't tell the difference. And the kids make such beautiful wishes, and really they close their eyes and they really think about their wishes. And I wonder how many of us do that anymore. You know, I think a lot of us at this stage, we close our eyes and we ask for help, or we ask for avoidance of trouble, or, oh, please God, don't let this bad thing happen. Or please God, don't let this, you know, medical report be bad, or please God, don't let anybody hit my loved ones in a car as they're driving home, or please God, don't let this plane go down. You know, we're always asking to avert disaster, right?
Yeah.
But we don't wish like when we were children. Remember when you were a kid? You remember things that you wished for? You don't remember when you actually made wishes, like when they would say, "Oh, we're going to have the wishbone of the chicken, you know,
right.
Make a wish and then pull it and, you know, or throw a
dandelions,
penny in,
you know, when you blow off the things in the blowing
exactly.
The
exactly. Or throwing
birthday cake candles,
throwing pennies in the, fountains at the mall.
Yes.
You know, make a wish when you throw a penny. And there were all kinds of things when you're a child.
I always have to think about mine. Yeah. I think they were easier when you were a kid, right? Like they were more innocent, and maybe that's why.
Well, right, I think now you mostly wished for stuff. You know, you wished for, or a dog. I remember that monopolized my wishes for about 3 years.
Oh, that's
for
hilarious.
A dog. Please, please, can we have a dog? Please, God, send us a dog. And finally, my parents got us a dog. But
I must have had a lot of wishes for dogs.
Yeah.
I have a house full.
Yeah, you won. but that innocence of wishing seems to leave us when we're adults. And I think that's a shame, because we really should, in addition to asking for to avoid pain, we really should allow ourselves to close our eyes and wish for something great to happen. Mm. Like I told the kids, when they were going to do this, before we gave out the sparklers,
mm-hmm.
I said to them, now remember, you're going to get to make a wish. Dream big.
Mm-hmm.
Don't dream small. Dream big.
Yeah.
Why not? Dream big. Because you want dreams to be big. That's why they're dreams.
Yeah.
So dream big and wish for something, you know, great. And I think that there's something almost optimistic and hopeful about making a wish. You don't know if it's ever going to come true, but it's like putting it out into the universe that I would like to be able to go to Europe for the first time. You know, mm-hmm. I wish that I could go to Europe. I wish that, you know, I could volunteer at an orphanage. You know, I wish that.
What would you wish for?
Oh my gosh!
If you could have one wish.
Well, this is what kind of leads into my second point about January, and I'm going to answer your question with this second part.
Unless it's secret, yeah. Unless it's secret.
No. Just I'm sort of creating the show here. I'm going to answer it by.
Well, I'm saying that because I was going to ask you if the kids, if you let them, do they say their wishes out loud? Because you know how sometimes you're not supposed to ever say it out loud, because if you say it out loud, then it won't come true. So that's what I was saying. Like, you don't have to say it to me if you feel superstitious that it won't come true.
Right.
So don't even
worry
about it. No, I don't want to ruin your juju.
No. It's not that. But let me tell you the second thing about January. So I was reading this New York Times piece that caught my eye about January. And it was I think the title of it was January's Secret. It's the best month. Once you see why, you may never want it to end. And I thought, all right, well, I'll read this. I can't. January. No one ever says January is their favorite month unless you're in the health club business. Or the dieting business.
Right,
because
exactly.
That's your Christmas. You know, nobody gets a health club membership for Christmas. Everyone gets one right after New Year's. No one joins Weight Watchers for Christmas. Everyone joins after New Year's. They say that the health clubs do 70-80% of their business in the first 6 weeks of the year, because that's when everybody is optimistic about losing weight and getting in shape. Yeah. This year's the year I'm going to get in shape, that kind of thing.
So, I already quit Weight Watchers, by the way, and it's only January 15th.
But did you start on January 1st?
I started just before with big ideas that I was going to just get into this. And I just was like, you know what? I hate this so much. I don't want to do this. But they won't let me quit until December of 2024 because I bought the stupid year package. So, I can't get any refunds, so I guess I have to keep it.
Well, what does that mean? They don't let you quit. They don't come to your house, do they?
No, but they won't. You sign up for, like, if you get the $12.99 a month, you get that special rate because you're buying it for the full year. So that's the deal. So anyway,
I see.
Whatever. But they made my money.
So you're gonna be getting meals sent to you.
No,
you don't
it's
want
just
to eat
tracking.
Them?
It's not even meals. All it is getting the app and track and make sure you're eating the right foods.
I see.
Okay. I don't know. It's too much work.
Sorry about that, Lisa. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy Nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
So anyway, I read this piece about, well, what is January? And at first, the writer points out that January doesn't have any real holidays, other than New Year's Day, but that's about it. The Super Bowl even got moved out of January to February. Hollywood puts out lousy movies in January. It's usually they're the ones that don't have any chance of winning awards or anything like that. It's cold. It means a restart of a daily grind, that kind of thing. So what was the positive about January? Well, it was that there were no expectations. That December, November, some summer months, come with all these expectations. And when you think about the holiday season, which we've talked about on this program, that's the opposite of this. Oh my God, I'm so stressed. I've got all these holidays coming up.
Yeah.
I've got to buy the presents. I've got to host the meal. I've got all these relatives I have to
cooking.
And I haven't sent out the cards yet. And we're booking our plane and we're booking our trip. And these people are coming in and we've got to get them at the airport. And it just feels overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
January is the opposite of that. Nobody's coming to visit you in January. There are no presents you have to buy in January. There are no holidays that you have to prepare for, no flights that you have to get ready, or relatives coming in or whatever that is built into the month. So January becomes this month of no expectations. And I thought, okay, how often do we allow ourselves to have a period of time where we're not expecting something of ourselves, where we're not putting ourselves up against, some kind of measuring chart or event or deadline or timer that we have to get something done by or do something by, whatever. And instead, just sort of enjoy the moment. And what this sort of speaks to is presence, which we've talked about many times here on the program, and of course is what Maury really specialized in. As he said here to me when he was talking about ALS, the disease that afflicted him and put him in a chair for all the time that we were visiting and eventually took his life. And yet he said this.
So I call this a horrible, wonderful disease. It's horrible because of what it does to you. It's wonderful in the sense it gives you time to reflect on your life, do good things, be with the people you love and say goodbye, and make something of this time that prepares you.
So what Maury's saying there is ALS and his realization that his life was going to end relatively soon gave him a chance to reflect on it. So to make something of the time that you have. Now, under Maury's case, of course, it was a scenario that none of us want to face, but we can create the good of that time by ourselves. And that's what's kind of optimistic about January. Like, you could have a month where you don't have to prepare for holiday. You don't have to get gifts. You could say to yourself, you know, no one's expecting anything of me now. So can I use this time to just sort of reflect? Can I use this time to slow down? Can I use this time to just enjoy not having anything expected of me? I think so many people, the pressure that people feel, the depression that many people feel, the angst that many people feel has to do with expectations. It has to do with the people at work expect me to deliver, and I don't know if I can. My friends or my social circle have expectations of me that I feel like I'm forcing myself to deliver. My spouse, you know, has expectations of me that I bristle against. My kids have expectations of me that you know, it's too much. They demand too much. We constantly feel like we're being pulled and yanked and expected to do so many things when we don't allow ourselves to say, you know what? Everybody deserves a break. Turn off the lights, close the door, and sit with yourself for a while without expectations. Without expectations.
Yeah, I like that. Can I tell you, that's the beauty of when we shut down for the Christmas holiday. You know, a lot of companies out here, I'll do the whole entertainment industry shuts down, right? So you have this 2 weeks, and it really is of no expectations. And the beauty is it's because everybody else is off. Mm-hmm. Nobody's, it's not like when you are on vacation, you're still going to get a million emails. You're still going to get questions. You're still going to get whatever. It's so nice just to shut down. Like, mm-hmm. shut her down. I think all of us need to shut down our lives for a little bit each year to just do nothing and clear our heads and our hearts and everything.
Right. And to not feel the pressure of expectations. It's a little bit like a snow day.
Yes.
You know, when
it
you were a kid.
I love,
you know,
snow days.
You get a snow day.
Yes.
And it's like, wait a minute, it's just Tuesday. And nobody expects me to be at school. And nobody expects me to dress for school, and nobody expects me to answer questions, and nobody expects me to go to the cafeteria or get to this class or whatever. It's such a freeing, liberating thing, right? Even if it was too cold to even go outside, right? Sometimes you say, well, it's a snow day and we should go out and play in the snow or whatever. And sometimes it was too cold or too blustery, but there was almost a relief, wasn't there? When you were a kid, almost a sense of relief of like, it's all right to just not do anything. And I'm not going to get in trouble for not living up to somebody else's expectations.
That's what I'm saying. That's right? When everything shuts down. And plus, snow days were like bonus days because they were always a surprise in the morning, right?
Right.
You went to bed not knowing the snow day was going to happen.
Right.
And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, no school today. Woo!
Right.
We should give ourselves those just like every so often. Give yourself a snow day.
Yeah. we pulled a trick when we were in college on one of my roommates who had gone to sleep very early on this particular night, and it was the winter time. Mm-hmm. And we all decided to pretend that it was morning because he had a really early morning class. I think he might have had a test or something, so this really wasn't a very nice thing to do, but there's a point
to
it. So we went into his room, and we changed his clock.
Oh, no.
To be like 6:30 or 7 in the morning.
Ah, oh, Mitch.
and then we all changed our watches. And then we all got dressed as if we were, even though it was the evening and we were done with class, we all got dressed as if we were going to class. And we had our books. And then we kind of said, okay, 1, 2, 3. And we burst into his room. And we said, hey, get up. What are you sleep? Don't you have a test today? And he goes, What time is it? And it was like, you know, whatever we said it for. We said, it's 7:30, aren't you? Oh my God, it's 7:30. I gotta, you know. And he popped up and he, you know, raised, he threw on his clothes and he racing out. Come on, let's go. And finally, when we went outside, you know, we said, we're just kidding. It's because it was dark. It was dark then. It was dark, you know, it was dark back then.
Yeah.
And he got really angry. But then, but then he was awake, and you could see he went from being really angry at the joke to like, oh man, you know, like I got all this time now.
Yeah,
tonight.
Now I have
like,
extra time.
I have this evening that I thought I lost, and it's as if you were granted the gift to go back in time.
Yes.
You know, but just for a day, you know, one day ago, and oh, I have this whole day now. Or if daylight savings, if you've ever woken up on daylight savings day and you forgot to set your clock the wrong way, and it was actually the one where it springs ahead. And so, you know, the springtime. And so you actually have an extra hour that mm-hmm. you didn't realize you had. And it's like the gift, isn't it? You have this hour. It's like, oh, I thought it was 7 o'clock, but it's not. It's 6 o'clock, and I don't have to be at work for 2 hours now. And I have this 2 hours. I'm just going to wander around the house and listen to some music and you know, make a nice breakfast. And you realize like every day should be like that, but we don't allow ourselves to. Right?
Well, we don't think it to do it.
Right.
Like,
right.
But if you do that all the time, like I said, if you just give yourself a snow day every so often, you know, even if it's in August, you just take yourself and say, I'm doing nothing. But everybody else has to be on board too, because once other people start bothering you, then it really digs into your bonus day.
Well, that's why January is hailed as this sort of, you know, good month, because everybody is sort of in that mode. You know, no one is expecting you to do anything socially because you're all exhausted from Christmas. No one is expecting you to buy them anything because you bought everything at Christmas. You know, no one is expecting you to do something by the end of the year, you know, get your taxes or your charitable giving or anything done because you've got a deadline. There's no deadlines in January, and everything's open to you. So that's the beauty of it. And you know, Maury saw this in his own unique situation when he was told that he didn't have endless time. And this made him more appreciative, as he said here.
Things look greener.
Yeah.
And they're more vibrant in the sense that I don't see them that much. I don't take them so much for granted as I did before. And so, indeed, things did change under a life sentence, so to speak, a short life sentence.
There he was talking about appreciating nature. Things look greener. That's a great little sentence. Things look greener. Don't they look greener when you have more time? Don't they look greener when you don't have expectations? Don't they look greener when you get that extra hour or that extra night or that extra day or that you weren't counting on? So give yourself the month of January to see what life is like with low or no expectations from the outside. It doesn't mean you're going to do this forever, because a life of no expectations is a life that does nothing. You know, nobody needs you. Nobody, you don't interact. It's not really a life with people. When there are people, there are expectations. When you have a child, a child expects to be fed. You know, if you have a job, the job expects you to be there. These can be wonderful things in life, but everybody deserves a stretch of time where it's their January. And so use January perhaps as a month of low or no expectations and see how liberated you feel. See how free you feel.
Yeah.
See what you can discover.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting thing. So, to answer your question about what I wish for, calm.
Ah, that's
just
a good
calm.
Gift for you. That's a perfect gift.
Calm.
If I could give you that, I would give you that.
Calm, not to worry about health, not to worry about things going wrong, not to worry about, am I late on a project or behind on a book or how's a project doing or what's this meeting going to be like or anything like that. Just calm. And like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. So
I like
that. Begins with a no expectations diet, you know,
mm-hmm.
and be nice to try to give myself one of those for a couple of weeks.
That would be good. Try it for the year. I think you'd,
I won't never make it for a year, but January's still got a few weeks left in it. So let's do it for the rest of January.
Okay, January. Got it.
So we hope you enjoyed our little chat together here. We do this pretty much every week. Not every week because there are extenuating circumstances as happened over the last few, but pretty much every week. And you can find out more about our show at WeTuesdayPeople.com on the web. And you can check in on chats and previous discussion groups and previous topics that we have covered. Until we get a chance to chat with you again, I want to thank Lisa Goich for putting the show together and producing the show he does. I'm Mitch Albom, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.